Here we go, Pete. And welcome to the Kink Afternoon Show. Today, Dave Scott sitting here with a man that's, well, for lack of a better term, a raconteur. This man, your brain must constantly be in creative mode because, well, you know, look, at 9 solo albums, 2 children's albums, you write for TV, movies, ER, King of Queens, you've heard his music on Felicity, Miami Vice, Judging Amy, you're all over that. And we're very pleased to have you here to play for us here this afternoon. In the live performance lounge, here is Peter Himmelman at Kink FM 102.
This is a radio tuning. It's not perfect, but I just want to show our humanity. If I give too much, I strangle each and everything I touch. But I can't start holding back, with the frozen heart just fading into black. And when I'm flying too high, I might never come back again. It gets so hard to know the discipline of rain. I see all my friends blowing through their lovers like the wind. They don't know where they're bound, but I swear they all remember where they've been. And when they're moving too fast, unrelenting like a midnight train, so hard to know the discipline of rain. Ain't it hard to know when to stay or when to go, when we've all been hurt so many times? And ain't it hard to believe that to give is to receive, when giving love can feel like an act of crime? Now I hear it fall, and I'm not feeling anything at all. There's a pause, a slight delay, and then I'm satisfied there's nothing left to say. Well, I'm not feeling too bad, and nothing stays the same. It's so hard to know the discipline of rain.
From our Kink Live Performance Lounge, a tune called The Discipline of Rain from the brand new album Unstoppable Forces. Peter Himmelman in the studio with us today, and just a sample of what you're going to get tonight at the Aladdin Theater. Peter, how are you?
Never better. This is probably the best day of my entire life. I got a rental car. They gave me an upgrade to leather seats for like almost nothing. You know, it's good.
Nicely done. Well played. Every once in a while, you get a little break. You notice that? Every once in a while, the cosmos turns, and you go, you know what? I'm in the right place at right time.
Sometimes you get leather.
Only thing that would have made it better is if you had the GPS. But hey, let's not be greedy, right?
No. Let's take what we can get.
Well, welcome to the Live Performance Lounge. Welcome to Portland.
This is people don't really know that because it's an audio media, but it's huge.
It's bigger than most radio.
Oh, my God. I mean, this is like there's... should I say? There's like 250 people in here.
There's a sauna. There's a gym for the artist to relax in. And I use the pool, which is an Olympic-sized pool. I know that you used it as well before.
Absolutely.
I saw you.
My hair's still a little wet.
But you look good.
Thanks, man. Thanks. We find that the artists perform better when they're happy.
I agree. Yes.
By the way, your cappuccino is almost done. So.
Okay.
So I read in the paper, and I had no idea, and you know, bear with me, this is new information for me, that you're Bob Dylan's son-in-law.
Yeah, it's been almost 20 years, you know? Imagine, what a fantastic story it all is. It's such a mythic thing.
First thing that popped into my head is if your wife does hyphenate her name, she would be Himmelman Zimmerman.
No. They never use that name.
Don't they at all?
No, they use Dylan.
Do they?
I think it was like a legal change.
Do they? So you've been married 20 years?
Almost. It's 17, 18 years.
So you had to have gotten married almost out of high school.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of which, and again, we have to get this out of the way, that he and I, Peter and I, went to almost neighboring high schools. You're from St. Louis Park, Minnesota.
Yeah.
I'm from Edina, Minnesota. And as a matter of fact, my wife told me to tell you this. I met my wife in St. Louis Park on a blind date in a bar called George's in the Park.
George's in the Park. Almost everybody in Minnesota met their wife at that bar. I didn't, but everybody did, and it's a great auspicious place for love and romance. It's beautiful.
And actually, you know, I was driving a rental car that night, and they upgraded me to leather seats. So
a lot of people go to the to Sedona, you know, as some sort of spiritual vortex. Ever heard about that?
No.
It's like this collusion of all the spiritual forces in the world. It happens right there. There's a few points in the world. The other one, I think the third one, is at George's in the Park, in St. Louis Park, in this bar.
Yeah, it is. It's
by the second booth by the window, if you know it. If you don't, it's irrelevant. Just dismiss it.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your new record. It's called Unstoppable Forces, and you have a unique theory I'm hoping you can explain to us, your theory of the middles. When it comes to songwriting, here's Peter's theory of the middle.
Well, it isn't so much a theory, but it's where I find myself, and I find a lot of people there. What it is a lot of writers and artists, we're always concerned with the incendiary passions of the beginning of a relationship, or the explosive ends where everyone's dismal and depressed. It's a little bit easier to write from that vantage point, but I found some fertile ground in writing about what I call the middles, which is just the Wednesday of your life. You're really engaged in it now. It's nothing overly heroic. You may be driving your kids to school. You may be paying a mortgage or a rent. And there's something so, for me, romantic about that mundane part of life. It needs to be elevated somehow. This is really the stuff of life. My shrink says, you know, you speak like a, he says, you speak like a cancer victim. And I took it as a compliment because he's right. He says, you know, when they find they have cancer or some, God forbid, a catastrophe, they see, oh my God, I never realized the colors in your rug were so vibrant. In other words, there's this, not taking anything for granted. Now, certainly I take a lot of things for granted, but I do strive for this rug color brightness. That's the theory, I guess, more than the middles.
An eye for the minutia of life. And as a writer, probably gives you a lot more to write about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would think. So your live performances are legendary. And I want to bring some of the myth out and see if indeed they are true. That one time you actually did pass out crayons and paper to the audience so that they could take part and make it audience participation.
Yeah, that was nothing. That was something I did. Better than that was we just played in New York, and I get these ideas and I just want to put them in motion. I feel as though I'm 12 at all times. So I decided. In New York, we played at this club. There were two shows in the night. So I decided I would make eggs on stage. And I did. You know, we went, you know, and I got a hot plate and a pan and some olive oil. I happen to be a very good cook. And some fresh basil, salt and pepper. And I made eggs, like, at the beginning of the show. And then some audience member came to, like, watch them, you know, so that we could make more. It was oversight, outsourcing. And people enjoyed the eggs, but then I had the band. I played with this fantastic band, whom I'd never met till the day of the show, these jazz guys. And I said, all right, play this weird thing in like A minor when I say, I just whispered. And I said, now to the audience, watch the power of music to change and make these eggs appear vile and poisonous. And then, and then all of a sudden, make it sound like a home-cooked country meal. And boom, doom, 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 doom. And it's just the power of the music and the eggs. It stimulated me. I do it for myself.
So do you have an idea? Are you brewing something up for tonight at the Aladdin Theater? Or is this just something
Nothing brews. It just comes.
Really?
And maybe it won't. Maybe it will.
So you want people coming expecting that because you want to spring it on them if indeed there is something that...
Well, I do feel that I have an obligation. My job as a performer, which is really the culmination of all my disparate abilities in this world, is to lift people out of time. Somehow, when you're writing or you're doing any creative endeavor, everyone has an endeavor for which they sort of transcend time, where hours go by and like, oh my God, it was like 10 minutes. That's when you pay money, or even if you don't pay, even if it's free, if you show up, the onus is on me to make sure that you transcend yourself for a minute.
Like Peter Jackson, The Return of the King. It was 3.5 hours long, and you went, it's over already?
I didn't see it, but yeah, my butt would probably be hurting on a chair like that, but yeah.
Well, here's what I'd like to do, if you don't mind, is play us another song, mm-hmm. if you would. And then I want to talk a little bit about some of your other sidelines, and in particular, something you've got going on your website right now that just fascinates me, that I think is such a cool idea, and I've never heard done before. So,
all right, you
will indulge us.
I'm gonna walk over there. Could you do me a favor if you could?
Here we go.
Just drive me in that golf cart over.
All right,
it's pretty far to walk.
It's a bit of a jaunt. He's going over to the piano right now. Peter is watch out for the front row there. Yeah, don't step on the lady's toes there. Sitting down at the piano now here in the cavernous Kink Live Performance Lounge. And he's going to play us another song here today.
This is called Been Set Free. I've been driving 16 hours. This rain is like a metronome. And on my radio, they're talking about Jesus, talking all about coming home. Well, I don't know a thing about it. I close my ears and live without it. You can hear too much when you're alone. Like children's voices and lovers moaning, or a dry wind blowing through a riverbed. All these memories, well, they're all wrapped up like a ball of yarn inside my head. Now a semi's moving up behind me. Its headlights, they all but blind me. And it's funny, for the first time I can see. I have believed in money, but all I got was greed. I have believed in vengeance, but all I did was bleed. I have believed, I believed in fame, but fame turned its back on me. If I had only believed in love, could have been set free.
I often wonder, what does it matter? Or is this all a worthless joke? Are we just atoms conceived in silence, awaiting our turn to fly like smoke? I'd do anything to lay beside you. I'd bring you all the things that I denied you. I'd say the words I seldom spoke. I have believed in money, but all I got was greed. I have believed in vengeance, but all I did was bleed. I have believed, I believed in fame, but fame turned its back on me. If I had only believed in love, if I had only believed in love, if I had only believed in love, I would have been set free.
Kink FM 102 from the Live Performance Lounge, Peter Himmelman. Beautiful song.
Thank you.
I so admire what you and people like you do. That must be so cathartic to sit down and just be able to emote like that. It's wonderful.
Once in a while, it's pleasant. Once in a while, it's a pleasant experience.
It can be painful, though.
Well, the airplanes and everything else is the pain. You know, I once heard some opera star. She says, I sing for free. They'd pay me to travel.
Mm. Yeah, I'm hip. I relate. So we're talking about your many different ventures. You have 9 albums. You've written children's albums, which is great. A lot of TV work, Judging Amy, a show that you pop up on frequently. And you have a new venture now. You call them Song Portraits. It's on your website. It's peterhimmelman.com. And this struck me as such a unique but simple idea, in that if you, listening out there today, would like Peter Himmelman to write you a custom-made song for whatever reason, am I correct? You basically hire Peter to do it for you.
Yeah, now, when I was pretty young, like about 18 or so, I don't know if your musician listeners remember this thing called a Porta Studio, which is this 4-track cassette recorder. Bruce Springsteen recorded Nebraska on it. I'm sure the record company went nuts because it cost like $3,000. But it was so liberating. It was a multi-track unit that you could bring into your house. It was just like, oh my God. Because before, several years ago, say 15 years ago, for those listeners who are younger, nobody had a record. Records were not so ubiquitous. Now, every singer in a nightclub in Nigeria to Kathmandu to Cincinnati and every Howard Johnson's, they all have a record with a color cover. So there was a bit of a litmus test at one point, but that's a digression. I'm prone to those. So I was writing these songs for people. The first one was something that I wrote for my grandma, and her name was Min, and everyone went nuts. I recorded it. It was a blues song, because she's like, you know, an older Jewish grandma, and she would cook blintzes and Jewish food, but I did it like, yeah, this is my story about my grandma, Min. She's special on the outside, special deep within, and all about her blintzes and stuff. And people went nuts. So I was, you know, 17 years old, and I was writing these songs. So the first paid song that I got, a guy paid me $50. Yeah, you can't imagine how fulfilling and how much money that $50 was. And he wanted me to write a song. I had done some article in a local paper. So he's this guy with a big leg and a cast. This guy did not look like any Prince Charming. He wanted me to write a song like Cyrano to woo away a woman from her fiance. And I'm thinking, buddy, you know, for $50, I'm going to give it a whack. But I don't think so.
Yeah.
So I wrote this beautiful song. It was called Oh, and she was sort of Hispanic or something, he told me. And I interviewed him like a psychologist for an hour. He was nuts. That was my conclusion. But the check cashed, so fine. But it was called Oh My Monica, All My Life I've Waited For You. And it was really quite pretty. And I brought it to him to hear. I was so nervous, because if he doesn't like it, it's very crushing that people don't like your stuff. People say, you shouldn't become your art. Be strong. Everyone who does art, they're their art, so don't even try. Someone loves your song, you like them. Someone hates it, you hate them. It's simple. I'm just giving you the honest truth. So this guy started weeping, a big hulking guy. He got up with his broken leg to go to the thing. He quietly, I thought, what's he going to do, fling it at me or something? He rewound it, played it again and yet again, cried quietly, sniffed and wrote me the check, never said anything, and I walked out. So there's this guy, Thomas Friedman, is like a New York Times writer, he's a great writer. I disagree with 6% of what he writes, but he wrote a book called The Lexus and the Olive Branch. You read these books and you fly on planes, books you'd never bring home. And it said, whoever has an internet site that's very interactive is going to succeed more. So I thought, yeah, I should bring this song thing back. So I put it on my website. And, people call. There's too many of them. I almost can't even do them. But they're fun when I have time, and people invariably, because they're good. I mean, I really know how to do. I cannot play tennis, but I could really do this. So they cry. The best thing I ever did in our relation. It gets very personal.
If you've got a wedding or anniversary or something that you're looking for something really unique, check it out. It's peterhimmelman.com. Just give it a click, that song portrait. It's a cool idea. Peter, I'm glad you could come and play for us tonight.
My pleasure.
You're going to be at the Aladdin Theater tonight to get there early because Jeff Rosenberg opens the show. And look for his new album. The latest album is Unstoppable Forces. One more time from the Live Performance Lounge. Again, we thank you. Peter Himmelman.
My pleasure. That's good. I get the earphones off. That's good. Good sound in this.